Hi, I'm Wayne Roberts. This is my wife, Tammy Roberts, in addition to being one of the directors here at the True Conference. I have been involved along with Tammy over the last 5 years conducting a series of marriage, parenting, family workshops. In fact, it took us out of full-time ministry. That's not really true. Full-time, local, located, we ain't moving kind of ministry.
Because this is full-time ministry.
It's full-time ministry. It's been a little bit hectic, not just today, but over the last, 5 years as we have gone from place to place. But we have been dramatically benefited. So we want to share some stuff with you today about preachers and our wives. I'm going to start this after I get all the hi, how are you, and I'm not panting anymore. So, okay. Make sure we're good to go here.
I could sing or something while he does this, but I'm not. Those days are over.
All right, I'm going to put that there so you can hear both of us. Tammy and I are convinced that when it comes to marriage and ministry, that the two should not be competing forces. Mm-hmm. In fact, we believe one step further than that, and that is that a great marriage benefits a ministry, and that a great ministry benefits a marriage. Or as I like to put it, ministry is great for marriage, and marriage is great for ministry. Don't let either mess that up, right? But there are some challenges to being a minister and their spouse, and we're gonna talk a little bit about that, but we really want to leave you with about 5 ways in which you can fulfill your ministry without losing your marriage. Or if you're so inclined, that you can fulfill your marriage without losing your ministry, whichever mm-hmm. makes you feel mm-hmm. better, as we believe those are a great partnership. Some of the things that those of you who, just out of curiosity, how many of you are in some form of full-time ministry? I don't care what the ministry is. And you probably don't need me to tell you a whole lot about how that is different in many respects than any other marriage. In fact, ministry is a marriage of sorts, right? I mean, you're married to your job, but in a whole different way. And so Tammy and I just want to take these 5 things, and we're not going to belabor all the here's how it's different, here's how it's worse, here's how it's better. I think you probably know that. We want to leave you with about 5 things that we think will really help. Number one.
Wait.
Oh, I knew it.
Our intention. I told him, you're going to have to breathe every now and then so I can say something. Yeah. You know. Our intention is to encourage you and to lift you up and to help you build marriages that are strong and marriage and ministry that is strong, because we are watching how ministry can tear up a marriage when it's not done together, or marriage tears up, pulls people out of ministry because you're not together in it. So that was our purpose. We were wanting to make sure that that we just lift you up. We've been there doing that.
And sometimes ministry, believe it or not, pulls you out of marriage, and that shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Tammy and I are dealing with about 6 couples right now who are in ministry who have just divorced, are in the process of divorcing, or are headed there on a freight train.
Yeah.
And that was one of the reasons that this has kind of come to the surface for us. Hey, let me just tell you, here's what happens when a marriage fails in ministry, okay? Imagine a local preacher gets up every Sunday morning, shares God's word, appropriate application of that. At home, things aren't good. So the minister doesn't know where to go with that. Because if you go to a local leadership, though in a perfect world, we would think that a group of shepherds would say, thank you for coming to us with this. We want to help you however we can. It's going to be seen as, in many places, I don't want to overgeneralize, in many places it'll be seen as, okay, maybe you don't need to be in ministry. I mean, if you have a struggle in ministry, or with something else for that matter, you probably don't need to be in ministry. So your ministry is at risk in that when you have problems. If it gets really bad, let's say there's unfaithfulness on the part of either spouse, for example, or for that matter, simply irreconcilable differences and the couple divorces. The man loses his ministry, right? A congregation loses perhaps a good minister, even a good man or even woman in some ministry situations. In that, the kingdom as a whole loses another full-time worker. And not of any lesser value is the fact that a husband and a wife find themselves potentially losing an eternity because their marriage has fallen apart. And so it may not seem, anybody here plumber, so I can use that illustration. I was a mechanical contractor for 20 years, and we don't think much of plumbers because they eat with their hands, okay? Just think about that. But anyway, a plumber loses his job, okay? The family doesn't move, probably. He just goes down to the union hall, gets a different plumbing job. A plumber who's a member of a local congregation, he and his wife have problems and they divorce, he probably can still be a plumber. There are just some dynamics that are very unique to being a minister and his wife, and we want to help you. So,
not that we've nailed it,
our seminars are always the same. Here's what we do, don't. Right? That's the way it is. Okay.
A lot of that. Go ahead now.
Okay, good. Okay. Number one, and we mean this, number one, family first.
And I don't care what anybody else tells you, family first.
Yeah. You may be called, quote unquote, to ministry, but you are commanded to care for your family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That has got to be first and foremost in regards to your priorities. It has to be clear in your mind. Your family needs to know it's clear in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Your leadership needs to understand right up front that it is the priority in your life, is your family, that you're accountable to God for that as much as you are any other aspect of ministry.
And we know that's not always the thinking in leadership. I sat at the feet of an older preacher's wife, and she basically told a handful of young women, you need to prepare yourself because you will now sacrifice your husband. He will be gone most of the time. And I'm looking at my little children going, I don't see that in scripture. That's not okay. That's not all right. So
she just didn't see that with five children at home. She goes, I don't care if it's scripture or not.
That's not happening around here.
He made this mess too. He's going to help clean that up.
That's exactly right.
But to believe that to exchange one for the other is appropriate, either way, it is really a miscarriage of spiritual justice.
Mm-hmm.
In our parenting seminars, we talk about the fact that just because you become parents doesn't mean you're no longer partners.
Right.
Well, the same thing about preaching, mm-hmm. right? Just because you become a preacher doesn't mean that you're no longer partners. In fact, if you want to just boil it all down, as a preacher, as a minister to a congregation, you have a responsibility to your wife, who is also a member of that congregation and deserves the same kind of an attention. And if you're down the street or across town talking to some husband about his responsibility to his wife, while you neglect your responsibility to your wife, you become not just a hypocrite, you've just been a downright liar about it. So we think that it's important that you understand that. Now, at the same time, it is a career, and I'll even say a job, mm-hmm. that you're being compensated typically by a local church for the work or the service that you perform. I wish we had a little bit different perspective of that, but it's your job. And so you can't simply say, my family comes first. And I know it's Sunday morning, but my kids play Little League ball, and I'll need to be there, right? Or I'm going to be up and down and out at the drop of a hat because there's some family business. In fact, I remind preachers' wives sometimes, just because your husband's in ministry, and he can at times go, listen, I could take the kids to school on the way to the office, or I can get away from the office and get over to... that you don't make that the expectation, right? In other words, imagine he had any other job. I spent 15 years of our married life in secular work, I can't think but maybe two or three that I ever stayed home for someone at the house being sick, including her. I remember leaving her with five kids and the flu. I'm not saying that to be prideful.
Is one of those don't do that moments,
yeah.
I think.
No, I'm just saying that at times I was like, listen, you're going to have to fend for yourself. You made half this mess. You cleaned it up today. Code V for any of you who know what that means. Okay. Number two, communication creates connection. Guys and gals, we are not talking to one another enough. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about ministry. We're not talking about marriage. We're not talking about M to C, okay? However you want to acronym that out there. We don't talk about anything in our marriages until it becomes a catastrophe. And if we're going to have strong marriages and strong ministry, strong marriages in spite of ministry, strong ministries in spite. If we're going to be strong, we're going to start having to have some conversations. One of the things that we've come to realize in coaching lots of different couples, both in and out of ministry, is this came as such a surprise to me when things completely unraveled. Mm-hmm. Or I don't have anyone to talk to about this, about my problem, Tammy hears frequently, because for whatever reason there has been a communication breakdown.
And I will say, I think sometimes, as it's coming from the wife's point of view, sometimes when the wife is feeling surprise, emotional, surprise, and she's feeling alone, to share those things with her husband is putting one more straw on the camel's back. You feel that way. And I get that. It's like, why, he's carrying all of this weight. I don't want to add this burden to him. But that's a mistake. We need to make sure that we're communicating, because I'm finding that if you don't, now see, Wayne and I communicate about everything.
Yeah,
most of the time it's unpleasant, but we communicate. But I'm finding other women kind of get down the road a little bit before they vomit it out on their husband, or they've carried it so long they're so hurt that it's hard to get past that. And that's why wherever you're at in your marriage and in your ministry walk, you need to start communicating about those things. Even if you're going, and just here's just a word of advice. If your wife is going to vomit out some of her feelings and her emotions, make sure you don't belittle her for feeling that way. And make sure you don't talk down to her for feeling that way. Or make sure you don't bristle at her for feeling that way. Remember, this is how she's feeling. This is what she's dealing with in that moment. So don't bottle it up, though. Make sure you're communicating about this. And I'm talking to the ladies mostly, because we carry that in us because we don't want to hurt our husbands. But the men do it a lot. I'll
nice.
Let you
let
take
tell
that
you
side.
About when it's really tough.
No. Yeah.
Let me put the preacher shoe back on the preacher foot and
yeah.
talk about what happens as the preacher sometimes.
Yeah.
You go to an elder meeting, and it's not pleasant. Oh, that was redundant, wasn't it? Wait a minute, I got a couple. Sorry about those of you who are one in the shepherd boot and one in the preacher boot will excuse that. But
bless your
at
heart.
The same time, you go home and say, man, I don't want to dump it on her, right?
Yeah. Right.
Maybe you already know that she's like, should we be here? You're working to death. You're grumpy all the time. This isn't for us. And you go, hey, I just thought I'd come and tell you that they just absolutely tore apart last Sunday's sermon, which just happened to be the one that she thought was the best I'd ever done. So that tells me that means all of them were terrible, right? So you don't want to do that.
Because now, hypothetically speaking, the wife may say something like, we're out of here. Pack your stuff. We're not doing this anymore.
Hypothetically. Finally, she's come around. Anyway, but the point is this, is as a good husband, you're going, I don't want my wife to carry this burden. And so you carry more than you should. Because you can't maybe feel like you talk to your shepherds, or you don't have a co-minister or a confidant, all of which I think are really good to have. And so you just hold it in. And then it goes and it goes. And one day, in whichever way you snap, You snap at them, you snap at her, you snap in your heart, and you're laying face mm-hmm. down in the parking lot. I mean, could be any of those. We encourage you to have what we call mm-hmm. a safe space. It's just a predetermined arrangement, an agreement, if you will, in which you as a couple can speak frankly but fairly, that you'll be open to that communication, that you will communicate in such a way as to not be reactionary, that when the husband, for example, comes home and says, you know, I really wish that you had been at this function with me, even though she's been home taking care of 3, 4, 5, 6 kids, and that she doesn't go, you hypothetically. But it simply is what? It's an opportunity to say, listen, we're the ones that have the most to lose in all of this, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's the ministry, whether it's the marriage, it's all going to happen right here. And if this boat is sinking and one of us is filling it with water, the other one better be bailing water, right? So communication becomes this two-way street in which we have to realize that in some respects, and Tammy put it this way to me the other day, in spite of the consequences.
Yeah.
Maybe if it does make her mad,
yeah.
maybe if it does upset him that said, it is better to work through that problem that way than it is for it to stay
festering
yeah. and balled up. Okay,
timing is really important. We know, I don't know when it is now, but usually Monday.
Not in the morning, not at noon, not at night, and preferably not when either one is sleeping. But other than that, yeah.
We know when we're tired. It used to be Mondays. On Mondays, we'd be tired, and we're both a little edgy, and we're both a little emotional, and that wasn't a good day to discuss.
It's still kind of Monday because of the introvert.
Well, what was yesterday?
It must have been Monday. It sure felt
must
like Monday.
Have been Monday.
Monday, we were in Disneyland, and I believe I said, okay, it's Monday, you know, because it was, yep. well, anyway. Okay, number three, as we put it here, is just kind of what I said.
Mm-hmm.
You are in ministry together. Ladies, a difficult pill for you to swallow if your husband is the local preacher, local youth minister, or husbands, if your wife is in some form of ministry and you're the spouse, and that's this. They're paying for one and expecting they're getting two.
I have so much I could say on this.
Start paying for one. The other one's going to leave. But no.
So much.
But here's the thing is, there is an expectation often regarding the work or the role of the minister's spouse. Even if that's not part of the arrangement. Tammy and I were at a church in which a new minister that had been added to the staff said it had been 6 weeks that he was employed there before he ever met the preacher's wife. Well, we met the preacher's wife, and in conversation, she made this statement.
Well, wait. We pulled up to services, and there was a woman sitting in the car next to us as we got out and walked in.
And we were tardy.
You know, so. I'm thinking, well, she's just taking care of some business or whatever before she goes in. So after services, I come out, woman's still sitting in the car. And I finally asked someone from the congregation, I said, what's up? What's up with lady in the car? And they said, oh, that's the preacher's wife. She's not social. So she's the last one in, and she's the first one out. She never talks to anybody.
So
and
Tammy
I went,
saw Sikkim to a dog.
I did not.
You did. You didn't
I
call
did
her Sikkim, but
I
you said she was
not.
A dog. Anyway,
I
so
did not.
Not the way that's supposed to come out in public. But here's what Tammy does. Tammy engages her and starts talking, finds out she's the preacher's wife, and she makes this statement. This is not my ministry. It's his ministry.
And my face went,
yeah, that's an option. I would have kept that box.
What?
Right? Now, Tammy's the first to tell you that not every minister's wife looks like every minister's wife.
And that's truth.
Yeah.
Quit trying to look like somebody you're not.
Put the
be
box.
You.
See, Tammy says, put the Easter box hat away. You don't have to be that kind of preacher's wife. But you are in this together, and I'm going to take it a step further beyond the expectations of a local congregation. I want you to recognize the blessing
yeah.
of being in ministry together. Now, Tammy and I had ministries when we were first married. I think our first ministry position, for lack of a better term, is a congregation. I was a volunteer to take care of the youth. In retrospect, that should have been the one that I was paid for. Okay? But we worked with the youth together. Mm-hmm. And then we went into so-called full-time, or I did full-time ministry work, and we went to a very small congregation and sought to turn things around, and we had the help of a lot of people. But we realized, listen, I'm going to go, and I'm going to make the promise that we're going to have a dynamic class for the 2 through 4-year-olds. That's the way that works. I was writing the checks and she was cashing them. And I was fortunate that she had a lot in the bank and not one came back insufficient funds. She did send a note that said insufficient fun.
Yeah.
But that was a different thing.
But we saw the work as our work. Were we doing the same thing? No, but it was our heart doing this. It's that one life. You're created this one life together thing. Our life took us into ministry, and it was our ministry, whatever it was, whatever we were doing.
The last 5 years, obviously, it's been a greater partnership.
Yeah.
And I think our ministry has been blessed greatly by God as we do this together. I think our marriage has been, because you just go off to a marriage seminar, getting ready to teach, going, this is great material. You know your stuff right out of the book. Great application. And you drive home going, you are the worst husband ever, right? So if nothing else, I've been through 100 marriage seminars in the last 5 years. I'm about to get a hang of it. The guy can leave me alone about it.
Let me throw in this.
Oh, is this about the baby in the basement?
No.
Okay.
No, but that's a good one. Yeah. And if it is your ministry, whether it's the man's ministry or the woman's ministry, be careful then of excluding your spouse and saying, remember when you said this wasn't about you, or I'm involved in this ministry and I know you're doing this over here. You're still one flesh. Make sure you're talking about those works as your one heart, and you're supporting each other in that. Not here is your work and here's your work. That's two separate lives. That's not okay either. You make sure you're taking care of that one flesh part and including, encouraging and including.
I'm a big proponent these days of co-ministers.
Yeah.
I would like to move beyond the idea of a pulpit. Logan and Lane have it, look at them pounding out over. They know what a co-minister is.
Yeah.
One of them's writing the checks and the other one's cashing
them.
Doing the work, taking the credit. Somebody's got to bear one another's burdens. But anyway, this is a great co-minister for me. One, she knows what's going on. She's involved. She's invested. She has my same frustrations. And at times when I'm frustrated, she goes, you know, there's a success in there too, right? There's a victory in that. Our partnership isn't perfect. The people in the Orlando airport can tell you that from yesterday, but that's a whole nother story. But we're working on it, and I'm just saying it has become a blessing being in this together, mm-hmm. even if, quote unquote, at a local work, it's my job and it's my name on the paycheck. In fact, I almost said hate, but I don't hate. I love less when I get a check for one of our seminars and they make it out to Wayne and Tammy Roberts. That's just a separate function to get her endorsing. It's our money, but just make it
I kind of like it myself.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, but she's asking for a cut. So since I said that about the baby in the basement, you need to tell them. They're all wondering, what in the world has about the baby in the basement?
It is that whole thing of, yeah, ministry is going to affect your marriage. And Anna just walked out with little babies. You know, you have this life that you have going on all around you, and you can't stop sometimes, whatever your role is. Dad can't stop and come home and just be dad in that moment. And mom sometimes has to keep just being mom. It affects your marriage, ministry
you
does.
You can't just put the baby in the basement.
Someone's yeah.
going to have to get up with them.
Right.
I'm just proposing that it's the woman who's nursing the baby should get up with the baby, not the husband to get up to give it to the wife to nurse the baby. Wait a minute, different seminar. Number four. Okay. Number four, part, and that is a realization that ministry is probably more about the have-nots than it is the haves.
Yeah.
It's not always the case, and Tammy and I have found the church, at least towards us, to be quite generous. But the truth is, ministry is going to tax your financial situation. Mm-hmm. For example, churches don't always have the resources to give you. My dad preached for 50 years, and he said if you found anyone else who was in a professional career, a doctor, a lawyer, that if they had had a career of 50 years, they would be well compensated over the period of time. You'll hear preachers talk about, I love preaching. I want to die in the pulpit. That means I have no retirement plan. That's what that means. I need to drop dead and hope she can file some type of a worker's comp claim to make up the retirement. But seriously, there is going to be a financial aspect to it. Now, you don't get to say, I'm working overtime, right? I'll get overtime pay. Mm-hmm. Or Sunday's a holiday, that's double pay, right? You're lucky to get the single pay. I shared recently with someone a statement I made a long time ago. Somebody said, well, preacher only works one day a week. And I said, well, I looked at my paycheck. I thought that's all I was getting paid. did not go over well, but the next place was a whole lot better anyway. But it's going to have that, and I think you need to understand that you're probably going to have, there's going to be some financial consequences to being in ministry. Mm-hmm. I do not believe that you have to give up everything to be in ministry. That should not be expected of you, that because you went into ministry, you're going to sacrifice everything, grinding your own grain to make bread so that you can share about the bread of life. That's not the model.
But don't get caught up in materialism, and that's really a lot of pressure on ministers and their families because you have other people, and they're always, remember, there's somebody making less than you, always. But you have these people going forward in their lives and buying bigger homes and having all new furniture all the time, and you to get a new piece of furniture is a big deal. Remember to be content. You do have what you need. You are being blessed by the Lord. I hear young women often say, well, as soon as we get this, I can have people into my home. And I always say, careful. Yeah. You are blessed with whatever you have right now, and nobody cares. Have people into your home, and God will shower those blessings down on you. Don't get caught up in materialism. Just be who you are.
She's saying that because we had a 700 square foot home, 5 children, 1 toilet. Okay, that's mm-hmm. the house we were living in.
Partially finished basement-ish.
Yeah, kind of. We had people into our home on Sunday nights. We got where we couldn't afford to go out anymore mm-hmm. when everybody went.
And it wasn't any fun.
So we started saying, just come to our house. So one night we had 48 people plus our family in this. On that night, 2 different VCRs, back when they were like...
Some of these people don't even know what that is.
Yeah. It's a video cassette recorder. Let's put it this way. Imagine your expensive Blu-ray player.
Yes.
2 different Cokes got turned over in them, ruining them with mm-hmm. these people.
Was it the same night the microwave exploded?
The microwave exploded, and the kids were downstairs. The ceiling of the
partially
finished basement... were those 8x8 acoustical tiles that you have them in your church, probably somewhere in a classroom,
yeah.
The old asbestos ones.
Uh-huh.
The kids
Black
got
mold.
Up on the bunk bed and pulled down the entire ceiling. They found out one came up, then another came up. That was in one night. I was mad at everybody except Jesus. But I wasn't happy with him, okay? And Tammy said to me, she goes, not a thing of it matters.
It's just stuff. It's just stuff.
The next day, a good friend of mine, the stingiest guy in the entire church, though he was an aerospace engineer and had more money, he was the guy that always stiffed me when it was time to pay for the pizza or everything else. He shows up at my house the next day with a brand new microwave. Now I can't even be mad at him anymore. I'm still not happy with him, but I'm not as mad at him. But it doesn't matter. Now, I will tell you, I'm not a money guy. I am a money guy. I spend it. Okay?
Yes. Yes, he does.
This is why I don't breathe. That's when you begin to talk. But I can tell you that there are some things that you can do in advance to see that it isn't as complicated. Live within your means, right? Some kind of a budget. It doesn't have to be big, fancy. You know, I always ask, any of you have ever taken the Dave Ramsey course, where is the envelope to put money to buy new and bigger envelopes? I don't know where that goes. You know, that's your problem. Your check isn't too small. Your envelope is too small. I need a big one that says plasma screen TV. And start putting. But work within that budget. Live within your means. Find a degree of contentment. And then, as Tammy put it, use what you have. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, spend it. I hope my last mission check bounces. I just hope it's not to one of you. Okay? But I'm just saying, when I go, I want it all gone.
That's right.
I'm not saving for my children's retirement.
Nope.
They should have thought about that before they were born. Okay. Number five. And as important as is putting family first, this is actually probably number one. And that is that you need to continue to grow spiritually. Mm-hmm. The problem with unfaithfulness in marriage is not about ministry. It's about individual character. When a couple fails to grow spiritually, individually, everything in their life is destined for tragedy. Mm-hmm. The way their kids are, the way their marriage is, the way the ministry goes. Because ultimately, that's all we can be responsible for. We know couples in which one of them is fine. They're working hard at being where they're supposed to be, and the other one isn't, and it costs them a marriage.
Yeah.
But when it's all said and done, in some ways, just like the VCR, what you can't control, you can't control. But what you can control, you'd better control. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be... See, preachers are victims. I've yet to be in a preaching school, a preaching program, where this statement isn't made. Make sure that you take personal devotional time aside from what you're preparing for a sermon and for a Bible class. Beautiful theory. 2 weeks ago, I spoke 17 times in 14 days. I didn't hardly have time for personal eating, much less personal devotion. But let me tell you, you'll pay the price for it. Mm-hmm. It will catch you up. It catches up with you every time. So to encourage that, it is about your ministry, it is about your marriage, it's about your eternity. Whether your marriage makes it or not, your ministry continues or not, at some point in time you're going to have to give an account for how you have been on an individual basis. The only benefit is that you might actually find somebody that says, how about the two of us walk on this spiritual mm-hmm. journey together, and that when I'm not everybody I'm supposed to be, you can say, hang on a second, because I really appreciate what Francis Chan in his book on marriage says is, I love my wife so much, the thing that I want most for her is to be out of this life with Jesus someday. So that means I've got to do everything I can, not just to get me there, but get her there. And I'm hoping she feels the same, because that's a very... that's a very comforting thing.
So it's going to require you to do some things intentionally. Intentionally. Put it on a schedule. Put it in your life. But do it intentionally. And one of the things that we've started doing... Actually, I started doing it...
But you're too loud doing it, so now I'm happy
know,
to do it.
I know. You're blessed by me.
Yes.
I listen to... I have that YouVersion Bible app, and I listen to the Bible every morning as I'm getting ready in the bathroom. It's awesome to start my day out by letting the Word of God... And sometimes we limit the power of God by thinking we have to be doing this in-depth Greek word-for-word Bible study, when sometimes the power of God just washing through you is amazing. And so I've started doing that, and Wayne will be in the shower or something, and I'll... Did you hear that? Have you ever heard that before?
What she meant was, can you hear that over your incessant singing?
No. But it has tied us together, just listening to that. And it, right now I'm doing the New Testament over and over again. And it has pulled out things for us together that we talk about as we start our day. So that's something...
And it's even affected, because if I tell her, I said, why are you being so NIV with me?
Listen to the NIV version.
Yeah, see, that's a double version.
I know.
There.
NIV version.
NI version.
Uh-huh. I call it the indignant Jesus version
because he'll go, "Oh, ye of little faith." And so anytime it's like, man, he's really riled up this early in the morning.
It's the guy reading it. I'm like, settle down, buddy.
But it is an opportunity. She goes, "I've never thought about," and I don't know if you've had this experience. You've been so closely looking at it that you went, "I don't think I've really heard or listened to how that sounds." I always say this about Bible study. I believe Bible study is good. You can learn a lot by dissecting a frog about the frog, but at the end, the frog dies, right? So make sure you don't dissect Scripture so much that you go everything about it, but Scripture somewhere along the way got lost, right? So that's one. Another, and Tammy should probably talk about it because she's the queen of it, and that is pray. And I mentioned pray and pray.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you're not going to be able to have a marriage or a ministry without God on your side, more than just academically, but where you're turning yourself over to Him. I believe that prayer, it may be the single best way to help your marriage, because prayer is ultimately humility. Every time you ask God to do something, you're admitting it's something you can't do. I mean, you really are.
Right.
If it's something you can do, oh, you'll go, "Yeah, well, thank you, God, for providing this paycheck that I worked 70 hours this week to get." But when you need it, it's, "I can't work anymore," paycheck, right? So you begin to do that. Well, every time you humble yourself and tell God, "I can't," He says, "I can." But when two people humble themselves, pride no longer gets between them. And every marriage problem centers on pride. Self is every single, I challenge you to find any marriage problem, unfaithfulness, abuse, lack of intimacy, they always come down to a self issue, and spending time in prayer starts moving self out of the way.
Another thing to do together is read a book of the Bible together. Say, this week we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, and then at the end of the week, you share what you saw in Matthew chapter 1 together. Yeah. Or get a book by somebody, whatever it might be. I just finished my son's book, Disconnect. Read that book separately. Mark that book. And at the end of the week, talk about what you see in this chapter. This is what I saw. And talk about it. It ties you together. It keeps you from being so separate in all of your journey.
She's yet to do my book. My Little Kitty Colors, it's called.
I'm waiting to do your book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's... somebody's behind on their manuscript, and that's me. Let's just get it all out, but it's still coming soon.
Keep moving.
Finally, just from a standpoint of those intentional things, and this may seem a little bit of a no-brainer, but surround yourself with some spiritual people. That doesn't mean necessarily church people. What I mean by that is... sometimes the people in a local congregation who are great people aren't the most spiritual people. I'm not saying go outside the church. I'm just saying you need to surround yourself with spiritual people. The one that you can sit and laugh with and joke with and tease with. And then almost on the turn of a dime, you could talk about some really spiritual. Those are great people to have in your life. Mm-hmm. Don't just pick the people that are always pious, always interested in reading a scripture, everything is this and this, and you go, "Yeah, but you're just boring, right? You're no fun." Find those friends that you can go, "Oh, that is the silliest thing. We've been people watching, we're laughing hysterically," and then go, "Yeah, and all these people are lost," and in a turn, as I said, your conversation changes greatly. Anything else you can think of?
No, that's a good one. Make sure you have those...
Write that one down. It's a good one. She hasn't told me that on anything else yet. So
make sure you have those couples in your life. They make a difference. We have several in our life that we see them twice a year. But when they come through our life, it's refreshing. You need to be refreshed. And so you need to have those people in your life. So.
Okay, for the sake of time, let me just leave you with this thought.
I don't even know what time it is.
I am not given to being an alarmist, okay? I do not, and I'm convinced that marriage is not as hard as people can try to convince you that it is. The 50% of all marriages fail statistic is bogus. There has never, ever in human history, recorded human history, been a time when 50% of all marriages fail. However, some marriages do fail. And if you're foolish enough to say, what you're talking about with our marriage or our ministry will never happen to us.
I know too many people that have said that.
We moved you over to the category of everybody else who said, this will never happen to us. That will never happen to us in our ministry. It'll never happen to us in our marriage. So you're going to have to do something, as Tammy put it. Well, let's just put it this way. Number one, you need to be prayerful. That is, that you're doing it together. That you need to do something purposeful or intentional. And you do something proactive. Doing something before calamity happens. Tammy and I find that most of the places that we go, we've been asked with this little addition. We so need you to come. We have this couple, these couples, these deacons who are about to divorce. And if you could come in for 6 hours, you can fix all of that. And the answer is, we needed it 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Because once some of these messes are made, they are really, really, really hard to clean up. Mm-hmm. And I can't do it in 6 hours, or you couldn't afford me. So I want you to think about it seriously. You don't have, like I said, not overly paranoid.
I want to throw one in.
No, I'm done.
Well, you're not breathing.
Okay, I'm breathing. No, but that you're going to have to realize that it will happen to you if you're not active in seeing that it doesn't happen to you.
And if you are in something right now, find somebody to talk to. Work through it. Our God is powerful and mighty. Find somebody to talk to if that's where you're at right now. Don't do it by yourself. Yeah. Make sure you have that in your life.
Don't let it get to the point of going, well,
we have been there, struggled through. We know.
Oh, yeah.
So
bags are packed, but we unpack those bags.
Yeah, we kind of like each other
and
now.
And I hid the suitcases. So anyway, something that might benefit you. Of course, we'd love you to attend any of our marriage seminars that are in your community. There are some cards on the table out there. Our website, hisshoesherschoes.com. You can click the upcoming link and see everything that we have for the rest of this year. And at least, I think there's 4 or 6 of the ones for next year, though there's some others. But there are 2, especially if you're in ministry, that we want you to know about. Next year, we're going to be hosting the 2 Holy Souls ministers and their spouses weekends. It'll be a Friday night, all day Saturday, Sunday morning. The first will be here in Oklahoma City at the 21C Museum and Hotel in downtown Oklahoma City. An awesome venue. Go check it out. It's the home of the Purple Penguin. More about that in the future. But it will be a time spent exclusively on these issues and more that plague or that face ministers and their wives in their marriage. We're going to ask ministers and their wives to attend. We're going to ask elders to pay to send ministers and their wives to give them the time off without consequence to their vacation schedule, because we believe that that's good for individuals, for couples, for ministries, for churches, when preachers are that. And that will be April 24th through 26th. And the second will be actually in Charlotte, North Carolina in October, October 9th through 11th. Charlotte's an up-and-coming town, and we need some connections in the Northeast that just aren't being reached, so we're going to have that opportunity, but it still could be a great getaway, and then that will be announced a little bit later, but we are going to have 2 destination seminars, one in Gulf Shores, Alabama, and one in San Antonio, Texas. Again, those will be more marriage seminars in general. And then finally, and we're getting close, it's starting to get cloudy, starting to get cooler, we're moving that direction, but it's going to be warm in Mexico in February. And so our second marriage seminar at Sea Cruise is already being booked, and there are some spaces left. There's information on our table. Be a great opportunity. So I'm hopeful that one of those will serve you as an opportunity to strengthen your marriage, to grab another couple. Maybe it is to encourage somebody that you know that might be on the verge of struggling. It's not really a commercial, but it is, because we're our own sponsor these days.
That's exactly right.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We're going to take about a 15-minute break. I guess I went a little bit over, so you get a 12-minute break.